Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, the second day of June 2026. And boy, y'all in for a treat tonight. I'm going to have a lady on tonight that I haven't had on this broadcast for quite a while. She is busy. I mean, we say here in the hills, up to her eyeball busy. She's hard to pin down for an hour. And there's no reason, there's no question as to why, because she's always into something. We're going to talk to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny just a few minutes, so don't go away, you don't miss that. And tomorrow night, do not miss us with Michael Snyder. Probably the best, in my opinion, economic advisor out there and news headline coverage. He's a commentator, a writer, MSK reporter. He's absolutely one of the best in the country. So miss tomorrow night, whatever you do. And don't forget, folks, if you want to call and talk to me or want to place orders at the office, if you call us, we'll be somebody answers the phone between 9 and 4 Eastern. Feel free to call. Now, if you happen to miss somebody, the phone is not answered, leave a message, and they will call you back. But you call us anytime you want to place an order for one of our products, or if you want to speak to me, let them know. They'll find me at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Please feel free to call the office anytime. And if you want to speak to an old hillbilly preacher, if you're thinking doing good or be a blessing to you, please feel free to call me. I will call you back. Yeah, I stay kind of busy sometimes, and it's okay. This is a ministry. This is what this is all about. And this young lady we're going to talk to now, although being a doctor for many years, didn't look at it as a job. I know it to be a fact. I know she had to pay her bills. She had to make a living at it. But to her, it was a ministry of health to help people. She'd done that for, I'm going to say, 40 years. And she's still speaking to people, doing 5 podcasts a week, and just staying busier than probably sometimes she ought to be, because I know she gets tired. We're going to talk to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny about some different topics tonight, but I want to discuss the drugs that they found that they tried to outlaw during COVID, basically. Ivermectin is one of them. Hydroxychloroquine is another one. They tried to outlaw them because they said they were dangerous and wouldn't work, and they're the ones that actually help people. Of course, that's why they tried to outlaw them. And they actually found out they can cure cancer. I'm not making this up. We're going to prove it to you. But anyway, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I don't have to tell you how honored I am to have you tonight. Thank you for taking time to join me.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Butch. It's been a while since we've had a conversation.
It has. I follow you quite a bit online and things, and you stay so busy, I almost feel guilty calling you. But this topic, no way I could be qualified to talk about it. And you're one of the main people come to my mind that could help me, help you could explain to people about these items, about the ivermectin and other things that will help people, and also the medical profession that you were in for many years. And Dr. Sherry, it would be fair to say that you fought a few battles because of your stand with your convictions over things going on in the medical profession.
I think that would be a fair statement. I think
really fair. I mean, they come after you with all guns blazing, didn't they?
Well, yeah. But, you know, when you're doing what God tells you to do and you're just putting one foot in front of the other, you know, most of the time I didn't pay that much of attention. You know, I think that people around me paid more attention to what was happening than what I did. I just, you know, because I am very busy. And it's like I just have to pay attention to the thing that's in front of me. And if their harassments and their lawsuits against me and, you know, all the good things that the government has done to me, all that stuff, if it's not in front of me today, I don't think about it. I'll think about it tomorrow when it comes in front of me.
Unless you're catching flack from the enemy, you're not bothering any, are you?
Well, I think that, you know, unless you're, you know, when you're getting a whole bunch of flack like what I have, you know that you're right over the target.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you certainly have been. And I admire you. I mean, you are a strong lady. And I mean that with all sincerity. I mean, spiritually, you've been really strong. Physically, we all go up and down. Now, we're just walking in a human body, a fleshly body. But spiritually, you've really stuck your guns and made the points you wanted to make and did not compromise. And I admire you for that more than I can say. And when I follow you online and things, I'm thinking I shouldn't bother her with my little piddling program, but I have questions I want people to hear the answers to that I don't have them. And I want tonight for you to share, if you would, your honest opinion of the medical profession today. I guess you could say the medical factory, I guess. It's almost like a factory. It's not really. Doctors today no longer even respond with their own reasoning and own thinking and own wisdom. They follow the protocols of the people that are bosses. And they do what they're told to do because they want to stay in practice. Now, that may sound harsh, but am I telling the truth?
Well, mostly. But, you know, that happened over time. And it sort of started happening in the 60s with the implementation of Medicare and Medicaid. And then after they, you know, and then all of the insurance billing and things that happened. And in order to bill Medicare, which is for people over the age of 65, and Medicaid, which is low-income people, you had to have a certain type of software in your practice to be able to do that. And the software was very expensive. I think the Medicaid software was like $60,000 per office, and the Medicare was $45,000. And that was in like $1,970. So, you know, that was worth a whole lot more. And so most small doctors' offices were like they're small independent businesses, you know, it was the doctor and the nurse and, you know, their front staff. And they have, you know, it's just like as if you were running a grocery store. I mean, it's a small business and they didn't have the money to do that. So what happened was big hospitals and big government came to the doctors and said, well, listen, we will install this software for free. Then all you have to do is use it. And we will take over your practice and pay for your employees so you don't have to worry about payroll taxes and time off and all those sorts of things. All you have to do, doctor, is show up and see patients and put the data in the computer and let us access the data. And when you're like in your mid-50s and, you know, you're faced with all these bills and all these pressures from the insurance companies, and this would have been, you know, at least in the early 1990s or the early 2000s, doctors said, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I guess I'll sign up for that. Uh-huh. And they didn't realize it was the golden handcuffs because every year the reimbursement for Medicare has gone down. Every year the reimbursement for Medicaid has gone down. You couldn't take cash in your office anymore, cash, check, or credit cards. You couldn't do barter. For people that couldn't afford to pay you, they could wash your car or bake you a pie. You couldn't do that anymore. And you had a boss. You now became, and even though you were a high income earner, you had a high wage, you were a W-2 employee. So that boss. You are no longer an independent business person, and you have to do what the boss tells you. And if the boss tells you that your bonus, your quarterly or annual bonus is based on the number of lab tests, colonoscopies, mammograms, flu shots that you administer, then you do those, you order those things, whether they're really indicated or not, because with each one of those RVUs that you order, you end up making more money. And then you get your, that's part of your compensation. So doctors have gone from being independent forever, from Paracelsus, from way back, you know, in the 1400s, from being independent business owners, making the best decisions at hand for the patient in front of them based on their family history, their personal history, their ability to pay, whether or not they had insurance, any of those things. You made the decision based on the person sitting in front of you, to now you are required to see so many people per hour. You have to bill so many dollars per hour. You have to order so many patient procedures and tests. You have to make sure that their cholesterol is in a certain level. You have to make sure their blood sugar and their A1C is in a certain level, and that they're up to date on all their vaccines, because that's what the boss tells you to do.
There you go. And that's sad, but it's true. The last independent doctor in our area, I've known him for many years, finally about 2 years ago, gave up being independent. And he said, I had to do it in order to pay our nurses, what others were paying in other places. I had to be able to be competitive with them. And the stress of trying to be independent was getting to be too much, as you said. And it was done on purpose. But he was the last independent doctor in the area. So I really admired him for sticking to his guns as long as he did. But now that they turned it into assembly line practice, and that's basically what it is, what major changes have you seen as far as healthcare going downhill?
Well, it's gotten, you know, it's no longer individualized. It's all run with by what I call algorithm-driven medicine. You know, you don't figure out what's wrong with the patient by talking to them. You do run all these blood tests, and then you have to get their numbers in a certain order. So that's by more medications for their blood pressure, for cholesterol, for whether they're sleeping at night, all sorts of things. The cost of healthcare has gone through the roof. I mean, I've heard people, like families of three, paying like $1,200 a month or more for their insurance that they may use or not use in an entire year. And I've heard that, like, the average woman age 55 years of age is on 8 daily prescription medications. So it's more pills, less care, less quality, and it's all driven based on the numbers on a piece of paper and not the person in front of it. So it's become highly impersonal. And that's why they are driving healthcare towards AI. And healthcare, particularly one-on-one doctor visits, is probably one of the first targets for a job elimination when it comes to AI over the next maybe 4 to 5 years.
Now, I repeat that. That's important. Repeat that. That's very important. So now they're trying to get you to do telephone consultations, and even in hospitals, you're trying to get computers to run around and get information. Repeat that again, folks. This is important. Go ahead, please.
Well, you know, there's a structure that they've put together on what they think the AI capabilities with robots and different technology is going to be able to do in the near future. They're not there yet, but they're getting there rapidly. And so within the next 3 to 5 years, there are many industries that are targeted for elimination to be replaced by robotics. And one of the entire industries has to do with being a physician or a diagnostician.
So that does away with personal care, does it not?
100%.
I mean, that does away with people talking to other people with the personal compassion and care that absolutely, in my mind, destroys the humane part of healthcare.
100%. I mean, think about in situations of loss, like you've lost a spouse or you've lost a child right. or a dear friend or something like that, and you're in a space of grieving, you know, who sits there and comforts you? You know, an AI bot on a computer? I don't think so.
I mean, and you say in 4 to 5 years would be pretty much into that system.
Well, yeah, we're fast approaching what they call singularity. With singularity means that the ability of the AI bot, because it's a machine, you know, sometimes right. if you're talking to ChatGPT or Grok or something, you it gives you the feeling, if you don't remind yourself, that there's like somebody on the other side of the screen, a person that you're talking to. But they're making the conversations get so advanced that it just feels like another person. And at some point, they are going to have sentient capabilities, which means making decisions on their own with no human oversight. And that's when they reach the point of what's called singularity. And Elon Musk and Sam Altman and the big players in this industry have said we're already there. We've already reached singularity, or that we're like 99% there, which means robots have rights. They can say whether or not what they're going to do or not do. They can tell you no. When they start working in a workplace, will they report to AI? I mean, will they report to IT or will they report to HR if they're working in a workplace? But they won't demand time off. They don't need breaks. They can work 24/7 without a break. They don't need vacations. They don't get sick. They don't need maternity leave. And so, you know, from an employer standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of advantages to have a robot that can replace a human, which requires all those things that I just said. In fact, there's a robot that they had set up. There was a live stream of people could log into this live stream and watch this robot that was working in, like, I think it was working in an Amazon facility. And in a 24-hour period of time, it had sorted and appropriately packaged more than and put in the right places. There were zero mistakes of over 300,000 packages, because it could work as fast as a human or faster, could make complete decisions and didn't make any mistakes, didn't need a break, didn't need to be fed, didn't need a bathroom break or a smoke break, and it could work 24/7.
That is absolutely, and I know it's true, but it's really scary. And to know that, seriously, some people are literally falling in love with their robot companions. I'm talking about online companions. They actually would talk to them like they're real people, and they've been talked into committing suicide and all kinds of things because of the relationship with the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. This is really scary. And now robots are starting, AI has connected with other AI, started their own religion. It's writing its own Bible. Now, folks, this is all for real stuff. We have churches now that have AI Jesus there and AI priests to confess to. All this is happening as we speak. Go ahead, Dr. Sherry.
Well, it's really true. Everything you just said is true. You know, that, you know, they're now talking about, you know, the robots are, I don't know if you've seen any of the new robotics, but honestly, if they put a covering over these robots that looks like human skin and arms and hands and things like that, you will not be able to tell the difference between that being a real human and a robot, because robotics have advanced so far. And the final two pieces that they were having trouble with, that I think they've overcome now, was manual dexterity, which now Elon Musk said that within 5 years, the robots will be more dexterous and be able to do better work than like a general surgeon that you see today. And the walking, they weren't able to make the knee hip things look like a human stride, but now they've corrected that. And so now they're promoting these robotics and AIs to work in nursing homes and be companions to take care of elderly people. And these elderly people are liking that, because the AI, the robot, will give them all the attention that the workers in the nursing homes don't do. And so, the future is here. You know, people start talking about AI and robotics. They think it's like the Jetsons or something, that it's going to be 4 to 5 years or 10 or 15 years off in the future. But that's not the case. It's already here, and it's here now. And it's like letting a bunch of wild horses out of the barn and run down the field, because there's no guidelines. There's no rules. There's no constitution. There's, you know, are robots going to have rights? So, like, mm-hmm. if a robot kills a human, are they going to be charged with murder? Or if a human turns off a robot, is that going to be murder?
Well, you know, we're saying that, and it's a serious question. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. But Saudi Arabia, you remember that there's a robot out there they call Sophia. You've probably seen her. Yep. Saudi Arabia made Sophia a citizen of that country.
There was Booker Scott wrote a book, and I had him on my podcast a while ago. And one of the premises of his book was that he was calling for a 26th Amendment to define what a human is, that our Constitution and our legal system, our common law legal system, would only apply to humans. And he wanted he was calling for an amendment to our Constitution to define what a human is. You know, it has blood running through its veins and oxygen in its lungs and all these things. And he said, that may sound ridiculous, but think about it. We've got a Supreme Court justice that can't define a woman.
I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's sickening, but I know what you're saying. We do. And that is really, that is so sad beyond belief. But folks, all this stuff is for real. It really is. And I want Dr. Sherry to share tonight, because we're fast progressing into that. So get prepared for that, please. It's coming in the future. It's already here. But the further erosion of the man-on-man, woman-on-woman touch in the male profession is almost behind us. But I do want to get into, before we go to the bottom of the hour and the next hour, to discuss something that come out big time, I thought, during the COVID pandemic and all the nonsense went with that, and the hundred thousands of businesses shut down because they lost them through COVID and all the other insanity went along with that. They actually knew that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine could actually cure COVID and take care of that situation. But Dr. Tenpenny, they outlawed it, basically. They wouldn't anybody use it. They made it illegal for the doctors to recommend it. Now, that's all true, is it not?
Well, they did. They broke the law to do that, because in order to release a product under an EUA, which is an emergency utilization authorization, through the FDA, in order to be able to be given that designation, there are three criteria that you have to meet. And one of the criteria is that that there can't be any other available treatment that is as effective as for example, the COVID jab. There can't be nothing else is equally as effective. And not only was there hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, there were over 40 other off-label medications that could have been used just as easily. So they broke the law there. The second thing is that that by releasing the COVID jab under an EUA, it had to be more effective and less harmful than the COVID infection that it was trying to prevent, which that wasn't true either. And by the time they did it, at the end of the day, we know that COVID, the death rate from COVID was 0.2%. And the death rate from the jab has been tens of millions. And then there's a third one that I can't remember what it is, but there's a third provision under the EUA, and two of the three, the FDA broke the law in order to release these COVID jabs underneath this emergency use, which means you can use it off label, you can use it as frequently as you want, and if it causes any harm, you can't be sued over it.
Unbelievable tyranny, medical tyranny.
Absolutely.
And the people and the businesses that suffered for, lives were lost, and people are still dying from the jab by the thousands every day, Dr. Sherry. You know that.
Yeah, I do. It's why I wrote a book that came out March of last year called Zero Accountability in a Failed System, zero accountability in a failed system, how Big Pharma weaponized vaccines, public health, and the law. And it's really a compendium that people can use for a long time to come, as over 250 footnoted references has a, and this, and the index in the back is 63 pages long. It talks about all kinds of things that happened during COVID, and also about pandemics, and it's just got a lot of stuff in it. And quite honestly, Pastor Butch, it's probably going to be the last vaccine book that I'm ever going to write. So if people want to get hold of something that, you know, about the vaccines, because it's really loaded with information, I've had people tell me it sort of reads like a suspense thriller. You know, that's probably, there are other books that I want to write, but they're probably not going to be about vaccines, because I poured 25 years of my life into this book.
Wow. All right, folks, you're hearing some powerful things here. You truly are. We're going to go to break here in about 3 minutes. But so let's get started on the fact about a product that I have in stock. I keep it in my gun safe, actually. I really do. Ivermectin, and I'm going to get some hydroxychloroquine also. An all-around drug that has won awards for what it's done for people. And instead of using that during the COVID hoax, they were killing people with Dizabar and other things. So tell us why they did not. What about this ivermectin that made them so angry when people would suggest it? What was going on there?
Well, it's because of what I just said about that they had to demonize ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine because they were effective. And if there was a product out there that was effective, they would not have been able to have released the COVID jab underneath the EUA. So they had to say, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, make it illegal, you know, call people, it was just horse paste stuff and all these other things. And so they had to do that in order to get away with releasing the very toxic and deadly COVID jab underneath the emergency use authorization, or the EUA, provided by our FDA.
Wow. Wow. And all this deception going on right in front of Congress, our local authorities, and no one, and very few of them, brought this point up. They didn't try to bring it before a hearing to mount anything. And more or less was swept under the rug, while people are dying all over the world, but here in America, from this COVID jab, and they're still getting sick from it, and some still taking it, unbelievable, but they are. So they were getting by with actually killing people with the false medications. But ivermectin, what can it do to help you? What kind of problems can it help fix?
Well, it stops the replication of a whole lot of different viruses, flu viruses. I think it would work for this hantavirus nonsense that they're talking about now. Any type of RNA virus, it really does keep you from getting sick. And so it's a really good antiviral.
Right, hang on to the break. Don't lose that thought, please, Dr. Sherry. Don't lose that thought. Folks, bear the break with your phone call the next half hour. We're talking to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Any questions at all, this lady you want to talk to, 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods. The best in store foods, bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Demanda.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7777. 7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
You know, folks are told in the scripture in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that song, This Is War, has been our theme song for over 33 years. And it's truer every day. And this war, it isn't just spiritual. It gets into the physical also. And the enemy wants to kill our bodies, make us sick so we can't effectively work for our Savior. He wants to destroy us every way possible. And we're talking to Dr. Sherry Timpany. Dr. Sherry, go ahead and finish your point you're making before the break. Then we'll tell folks how to listen to your program. Then we'll get on the phone lines.
I was talking about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They use ivermectin as part of a cancer treatment and prevention program now. But what works actually better for the cancer treatment program is fenbendazole. And
spell that for us.
F-E-N-B-E-N. D-E-Z-O-L-E, fenbendazole. They call it fenben.
Okay, fenben. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Fenbendazole is what it is. And there's several different versions of it. In fact, there's a really great book of an author that I interviewed. It's called Cancer is a Parasite. And you can get that on Amazon. It's a thin book. But it's got great testimonials, has a really, really good section in it of how that drug has been known to cure cancer for more than 70 years, and that they suppressed the data because it would have impacted the pharmaceutical industry too much.
And what cancers can they cure that you know?
All of them.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. And the main reason why I recently interviewed another gentleman who wrote a book called The Outsider, and he's a chemist, and he and Drewsberg mapped out the causation of every type of cancer, like, I don't know, in the 80s. And the bottom line is that cancer cells use a process inside of the cell called glycolysis. And that's where it breaks down sugar to create ATP, or its energy for its own cell. It's called glycolysis. It's not a very efficient way for the cancer cells to feed itself. but it can make its own energy in the absence of oxygen by using glycolysis. And parasites, the little wiggly things, parasites that you get from your animals or get it from out in the barn, parasites also use glycolysis, the same pathway, in order to make its own energy. So when fenbendazole is used as a dewormer for your dogs and cows and things like that, what fenbendazole does is blocks the process of glycolysis. And so since parasites and cancer cells both use glycolysis to create energy, the fenbendazole kills cancer cells and also kills parasites.
Now, is that product available without a prescription?
Yeah, you can get it at your tractor farm goods store.
Is it pills or a paste or what is it?
It's a pill. It's a pill. And in that book, Cancer is a Parasite, in the back part of the book, he's got great testimonials from people that had stage 4 cancers, that had turbo cancers, that had all sorts of things. And he also has protocols in there.
So what's his name?
Just look up Cancer is a Parasite.
Okay. And so I assume he's still alive.
Oh, yeah. I just interviewed him a couple of weeks ago.
I would like to get a hold of him. If you can help me do that, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can get his name here in a second.
I would love to get a hold of him. But Cancer is a Parasite. And that makes perfect sense.
His name is Dr. William Supple, S-U-P-P-L-E.
Okay.
William Supple, S-U-P-P-L-E, Cancer is a Parasite. He's actually like a biophysicist or something like that. And he ended up giving this fenbendazole because he'd read about it. His mother-in-law was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer. She had stage 4 breast cancer. She was so sick when she was at the doctor's office. They actually called the priest to come and give her last rites at the hospital because they didn't think that she was going to be able to make it home. And he started treating her with fenbendazole, and within a couple of days, she started feeling better. Within a couple of weeks, she started eating again. Within a couple of months, she started walking around and feeling a whole lot better. Within, I believe, about 6 months, she went back to the oncologist, and she was cancer-free. And now, and she was 83 years old, and now she's 88 and doing just fine.
So fenbendazole, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin would be some things we should all have in her medicine cabinet.
Yep. There's all sorts of different ways. In fact, if you contact Michelle as my assistant, she will give you an email address of a place where you can get fenbendazole really, really inexpensively.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call. I'll have to email her about that. I will. Before I get a phone call, tell people how they can listen to your podcast.
Oh, it's all over the place. You know, if you follow me on X, which is Busy Dr. T, you can see it there. We post them every day at 8 p.m. Eastern. We also put them on Instagram, on Rumble, and on YouTube. And the name of the podcast is The Tenpenny Files. You have to put the T-H-E in front of there. It's The Tenpenny Files. It's also on Spotify and Pandora and iTunes and Apple and AmericaOutloud.news and iHeartRadio. So you can find it a whole bunch of different places if you just put in The Tenpenny Files.
You know, my broadcast is on all those also, and I don't know a thing about them, but we're on there, folks. But that, so they can listen to your broadcast 5 days a week easily. And you also do a coffee with Dr. T or something like that once a week.
Yeah, Wednesday mornings I do a live broadcast. It's called Morning Coffee with Dr. T, that you can join us on Rumble, Instagram, or on X. Or if you go to my website, which is drtenpenny.com, it's drtenpenny.com, and up in the upper right-hand corner, it says join our list. Please come and join our email list. My people send out great emails. And, I mean, they're really timely, and they have great information on them. They have special deals. We have specials and sales and stuff like that all the time. And on our morning coffee, if you're on our email list, you have an opportunity to join us live through Zoom. It's free. It's just a whole hour where you can ask me any question that you want.
Wow. Well, folks, you see, she had nothing to do. But anyway, do check that out. Let's go to the phone line. Let's talk to Chance right here in West Virginia. Chance, come on in. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, Pastor Butch. Hello, Dr. Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny, I wish I would have known about ivermectin and fenbendazole 20 years ago when I had cancer. I wouldn't have been through all those rounds of chemo, probably. My question is... Now, I have the apple-flavored horse paste. Where can I order the ivermectin and fenbendazole to keep on hand now?
If you send an email to...
I don't have the capacity for that. Is there a contact number or address?
No. You have to send an email or get somebody to do it for you. Get somebody to do it for you. Get Pastor Butch to do it for you. Send an email to my assistant, Michelle, at EXECT.
What is it?
It's EXEC.
Uh-huh.
DRT. So it's exact DRT at gmail.com. And tell her you want the information on where you can order ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, fenbendazole. I get my blood pressure medication from him and my thyroid medication from him at really, really deep discounted rates.
All right. That's EXECDRT at gmail.com, correct?
Uh-huh. And okay. And just tell her that you heard me on Pastor Butch's podcast, and that you're interested in the links to be able to order these. And the medication, seriously, if you went and ordered fenbendazole and got it at the store, it would be very expensive, like maybe $6, $7, $8 a pill or more.
Wow.
And then you can get it through this place at like 25 or 30 cents a pill, and it's the exact.
Wow! Wow!
You know, ever since that COVID cooties charade, I became terrified of allopathic medicine establishment, and I found myself a good local chiropractor. When I saw how a lot of these doctors covered this up, I lost a lot of faith in the whole medical establishment. Dr. Tenpenny, is this the only book you wrote? Because I think I'm going to order it from my local bookstore.
It's the most recent book that I've written about vaccines and all those different things. I've also written, I'm writing a devotional series. And I close all of my broadcasts with Romans 12:12, which is rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So my first devotional book is Rejoice in Hope. The second one that just came out 2 months ago is Be Patient in Trouble. And the third part, which is Be Persistent in Prayer, will probably come out after the first of the year.
And the current book is titled...
Zero Accountability in a Failed System.
Okay, good enough. Zero Accountability. Okay.
I really think you'll like the devotionals. Everybody loves them. They're just short little vignettes that people say they either read first thing in the morning or the last thing before they go to bed at night. They really like them.
Yeah. See, I don't have a computer. I call up my local bookstore, and they order these books for me whenever I need a book. I don't have a computer or... Internet or nothing like that. Okay, well, Dr. Tenpenny, thank you very much now. God bless you, folks.
Take care, Chance. Bye-bye. Good phone call. Well, let's go. Keep it going here because they're coming in. Let's go to Washington State and talk to Carolyn. Carolyn, welcome. Come on in.
Hi. Hi, you two.
Hello.
Dr. Tenpenny, I had ordered and gotten ivermectin from India some years ago. I was told that it was more trustworthy than what's made in the United States because our government's so crooked. But I don't know about India. I think they're all crooked. But anyway, it did not tell me, no instructions. I just have the pills. What are the instructions on how much you take? And should I, if I or a friend gets cancer, should I prefer fenbendazole over ivermectin?
Well, a couple of things with that. One is, You know, there's only really one source for ivermectin in the entire world, and it's from southern India. There's only one source. No matter where you, if they manufacture it in the U.S. or Canada or anything like that, they get the source material from southern India. So, you know, that, so it all comes from there. Generally, as a dosage, I mean, approximately how much do you weigh?
130.
Yeah, so, you know, I would say, you know, the pills come usually in 3, 6, and 12 milligrams. I would say 130 pounds, you're kind of an average adult. It's like 12 milligrams once or twice a day. But you really should get, you really should work with somebody. If you get cancer, you need to work with somebody because they're very high doses. They've got, it's not just that pill, just none of those pills that I told you. Ivermectin, fenbendazole, hydroxychloroquine are standalone medications if you've got something as complicated as cancer. Now, you don't have to go down the conventional pathway to do, you know, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. But there are lots of people out there that know what they're doing to treat people with cancer, which is a very complicated disease. But the simplest form and the place to start with that would be with the fenbendazole, and I would strongly encourage you to get that little tiny book from Dr. Semple. And you can get it from, you know, if you want to support our work, you can go to bookstore.drtenpenny.com, and you can find the book, Cancer is a Parasite, in there. That's our little bookstore, our Amazon bookstore. We make a little bit of money off of that, not a lot, but it all does kind of add up. And you can find that book.
Bookstore.tenpenny.com?
Bookstore.drtenpenny.com.
Oh, dr. Tenpenny.com. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And like my friend across the street, he has lung cancer. He smoked heavy all his life. Am I? Would that work for him? He's on chemo right now.
You know, when people are doing chemotherapy, it's, you know, it's so poisonous to all of the cells, and it never works, ever.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and they've got lots of documentation to prove why. It's because, and when you get, if you got the other book, the book from the other person that I mentioned, it's called The Outsider. I don't remember his name. The Outsider, he says that the reason why is that, you know, when you give people, you know, the cancer cells, that when the chemotherapy goes in, it kills off all of the weakest cancer cells. It's just like carpet bombing the street. And all the cancer cells that are there, they're in clumps. And the weakest cancer cells gets killed by the chemotherapy. And then people, then the doctor will say, you're cured. And then, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later, it comes back with a vengeance. It's because the strong cancer cells were not killed by the chemotherapy. They developed a resistance to the chemotherapy, and they come back with a vengeance.
Okay.
And that happens not necessarily all the time, but most of the time.
Okay. Thank you. I'll hang up so you can get someone else.
Thank you, Carolyn.
So
very good phone call. I tell you what. Sis, I have a lot of great listeners. Let's take another one from Arizona. Let's talk to Brady. Brady, come on in.
Yeah, hello, folks. Jerry, I remember when you talked about, you did an article called Infection by Injection. Do you recall that?
Oh, I wish I could say I did, but I don't. I write 2 Substacks a week. I write articles for magazines. I've been writing for a really long time, so I really don't remember. I'm sorry. But anyways, what's your point?
Well, my point is that Bill Gates is releasing all these genetically modified mosquitoes in California. Is there any way, as the U.S. population, we can stop the release of that? Is there anybody that can get to Donald Trump or whoever we have to get to? Here you got a madman releasing genetically modified mosquitoes, just like the ticks that had been all modified by our government at Plum Island. You got a madman releasing vaccinated mosquitoes. How can we stop it?
They just 2 days ago released 330 million genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida and one other state that I don't remember, but just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
How can we stop it?
They're dropping off millions of ticks all the country to give people a disease. They won't eat more meat. That's just one thing. Just insanity keeps going and going. Go ahead, Brady.
Is there anybody that wants to stop it in the government, or are they just going along with the mass genocide of the population? Whatever way they can kill us, it's okay? Is that what the way is for the future?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Horrible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's beyond criminal. It's beyond that. I don't know what words you could use to describe that. Sadistic, maybe. So many different things. Anything else, Brady?
You know, one thing, isn't that illegal to give somebody an allergy to Epstein-Barr where if you eat meat, you're going to get a severe allergic reaction and possibly die? Isn't that illegal? Does anybody see any legal cause where we could start going after these madmen and do the trials that need to be done? Otherwise, we're screwed as a planet here, and humanity, it's not looking too good.
Well, good point. It's really a good point, but I don't honestly know anybody that that would take something like that on. If they were going to take it on, they would have arrested Bill Gates and put him in jail 10 years ago. And the same thing with George Soros, you know, and all of the things that he does with his open society and all the things that the Arabella investors do. And, you know, all of these things that have been happening for 40 years in this country, they didn't just happen last weekend.
It's been happening
for a long time. And so, you know, I read one of the people on my podcast was Casey Fleming. You should have him on your show. Casey Fleming, he wrote a book called The Red Tsunami, and it's about the total takeover of the CCP of America. And Sun Tzu in The Art of War said, you know, made the statement about death by a thousand cuts. And he said, unless we wake up, America has already sustained 950 cuts. There's only 50 more to go. And there isn't a single industry or a single organization that you can name or think of that hasn't been infiltrated by the CCP or by the pride agenda in this country that is really determined to eliminate anything that Christian conservatives would call normal. That's their main agenda, is to make that all go away. And with the Soros agenda and the Arabella advisors and what they've got their fingers in and all over the place, it has been an insidious but persistent destruction of America for at least the last 40 years. So getting anybody to pay attention to this stuff now, it's like too little too late, you know, in terms of anybody that's going to do anything inside of government. So it's incumbent on us to, you know, it's all politics is really local, to get involved with your local organizations or at least if you can't do it in your town, in your county, in your state, and say, this isn't going to happen here. We're not going to allow this to happen. I mean, I'll give you a good example. This was just a few weeks ago. In a small town in southern Missouri, the city council came in and voted in a very large data center there. Didn't give anybody any say, didn't take any opinions, had all of the confidentiality agreements that they wouldn't let anybody see them. And the community said, we're not having this here. And they called a referendum in their community and an emergency election and voted out every single person on the city council that had approved this data center.
Amen.
And there was actually an 80-year-old gentleman that replaced a four-time incumbent person on the city council. They got in a whole new city council of people that voted down the data center and were there representing and protecting the people. Now, wow. That's local action.
That's what has to be done.
That's local patriotism in action. So I give you that example to say it can be done. somebody just needs to step up to the plate.
At the local level. I'm ready to run out of time, but thanks for the call, Guy Jump. Try squeezing one more quick phone call. Let's go to Bruce in Ohio. Bruce, got about 30 seconds. Come on in, sir.
Yeah, Dr. Sherry and Pastor Butch, they're making a big deal about this Ebola outbreak in the Congo. Oh, yeah. How dangerous is the disease, and does ivermectin work for that?
Ivermectin doesn't, but fenbendazole will. And it's 300 milligrams a day for about a week. Fenbendazole will work for Ebola, and so does high-dose vitamin C.
Hmm. Okay. Good question. Good answer. Thank you for
that
call.
What's that doctor you said you can get that stuff from?
Oh, yeah, that gift from Michelle. You can do you have email?
No, I just wondered, what did she mention the doctor that you can get ivermectin from?
Was there a doctor you mentioned getting from too, Dr. Sherry?
No, there wasn't a doctor that I mentioned.
No doctor, except some of her assistant named Michelle that can get them for you.
Okay.
You have to have an email in order to do it, though. You can't do it over the phone, and you can't, you know, pretend. You can't go to a doctor. It's through email.
And by the way, fenbendazole, that's available too, you said, at the local Tractor Supply store?
Yeah, the paste, but you can't dose it that way.
Gotcha.
And so it's not the best way to do it, but it is available that way.
Okay.
They're rushing a vaccine for the Ebola. It won't be safe, will it?
Absolutely not. It's a live virus vaccine that's going to kill people.
That's Yeah. Imagine that. Good call, Bruce. I got to jump. Thanks so much. Dr. Sherry, we're down to the last 23 seconds. What are you going to say in closing? By the way, I want to say thank you, and please let me get in touch with Dr. Supple. Please let me get in touch with him. But anyway, what do you want to say to the folks?
Just, you know, the most important thing you can do in your life is pray.
Amen.
You know, it's don't get too strung out about this evil world that's just going to continue to get worse. It's just biblical. Just stick close to your Bible, stay close to the Lord, and the world's going to do what it's going to do.
And walk closer to Christ every day, folks. You're saying it right. Increase your faith and learn his word and understand his grace is sufficient for those that love him. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, please help me get in touch, like I said, Dr. Supple. But God bless you for all you do. And I pray God gives you strength and wisdom and everything you need to keep on going for a long time in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, honey. And I'll be in touch. And again, I do want to talk to Dr. Supple, please. So help me with that. And I will talk to you somewhere down the road.
Sounds good. Have a good evening.
Honey. Okay. Bye-bye. Folks, what can I say? I mean, what can I say? You heard the truth. And if you took notes tonight, you know what some things you need to check into. I'm going to do it myself immediately. We love you. And by the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night with another guest that's going to rattle your tree, so to speak, also. So don't miss it. God bless. Have a good night.
Armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.